It has been a while since we did our last podcast here on the Outdoor Podcast, but it is time to start that back up again, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and there's been a lot of things happening since the last podcast. I had to take a little bit of a break because there's almost a certain point in time when you can't really talk about it anymore because you have no content to talk about, considering the outdoors. Particularly in this part of time is harder to get outside than normal. A lot of states and counties and states make it so you can't even go to the lake to fish or to the river. Where I'm at, it's you can go to those places if they're in your county. So I'm not sure how rivers work, but I mean, hey, I'm gonna go to one eventually. Not lakes too much because, well, I don't want to get the sickness. So, with that out, hope that you all are still alive and kicking throughout the epidemic. Actually, it's a pandemic. But fishing is still a thing. It's still out there. And so are guns, but apparently I've heard that gun stores have been running out of guns, which is interesting. Guns don't stop coronavirus, but maybe they stop something that I don't know about, but I don't know about that. I don't understand why, but we'll see why eventually. Maybe it's the apocalypse. I don't know. Anyways, before we get too far into things, I would like to introduce today's honorary sponsor, and that is Guardian Nation. Guardian Nation is a thing that you can sign up for monthly, where you can get all sorts of resources on your concealed carry life. You can be a better concealed carrier of a weapon and be able to use it effectively and safely. So I'd highly recommend clicking on that link down below to go to their website to start accepting their help because they really do help a lot. Anyway, back to the podcast. Last time we spoke was a long time ago. So we're gonna talk about one of my fishing experiences that actually worked ish. So we went out to fish for 3 hours, and I was out on the Weber River, and there was a guy that I met who his name I'm not gonna say because he didn't want it to be said. But anyway, I met this guy, and he seemed to be a pretty nice guy considering he walked up to me before I got within about 100 feet of him. Was trying to fly fish, and I wasn't catching anything. So it was kind of a pain, but I decided to continue on. We had been fishing for about 1 hour already. At this point, I had run out of leader by a good amount. The leader that was left was about, I'd say, 1x, so it was pretty thick stuff. Trout really don't like that, but I was just hoping that one would be stupid enough to bite the hook anyway. Well, the fly. It didn't. So anyway, here comes up this guy, and he's like, "Hey, have you been catching anything?" And I was like, "No, I haven't caught anything on a fly rod before, actually." He's like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna show you how to do it. First off, this line is way too thick. Do you mind if I fix it for you?" And I'm like, "Sure, go ahead." So he takes the line and adds this stuff called tippet, which I had never heard of before. You have to keep in mind, I have been fly fishing for almost a month, actually 2 weeks at the time of this. Now it's been about 4 months. But at this time, it had been about 2 weeks of fly fishing in. So, still new, and I still am new to fly fishing. And so he puts on this tippet stuff, and he starts with a larger thickness and works his way down, tying them all together to make a leader, but out of tippet, which I now know is super, super cheap. Because tippet, you get like 90 feet, I think. I'm going to have to look at what I have now. But you tie them together to make a leader, and it works really, really well. That way you don't have to buy leader all the time. And so if you're new to fly fishing, tippet. Get some tippet to tie onto your leader to extend the life of your leader, because leader is super expensive. So anyway, he puts that tippet on there. And then he puts on my fly. And then he puts on one of his flies. He ties his own flies. And it was a little, probably a 14 size hook, with a little bit of green thread around it, with a little gold bead at the top. I'm not even sure what you would call that, but that's what it looked like. So it was a double hook, and I hadn't heard of that either. So I was like, wow, okay. And he's like, this will work great. And at the time, I didn't have waders. Now I have waders. But the river was low, and he wanted me to go walk out to a couple of rocks that were right there. That way I could fish to a good spot where they were biting, because he'd already caught like five or six that day within the hour. So he shows me where to cast. He tells me where there's something called the seam of the river, where the fast water meets the slow water, which again I had never heard of. He tells me to put my fly right there. So I put it right there, and third cast in, I get a bite, but it gets off. So overall on that day, I got three bites, and they all got off. And there was a lot of untangling of the line in that. So that was a bit of a pain. He wanted to untangle the line for me for a bit. So I let him do that, but I'm never gonna let anybody do that again, because that's just a pain for them and a pain for me. So if you tangle it, well, if I tangle it, I'm gonna undo it myself. That way, nobody feels like they have to do it. But he really wanted to do that, so I let him do that, which was really nice of him. We finally got it all finished untangling, and we kept fishing, but no more bites. Probably scared them all off. Wouldn't doubt it. We were making a lot of racket trying to cast that line. So it was getting pretty cold, so we went home that day. Then about a week, the next week, I get with this buddy of mine, and I'm like, hey, I found this great spot. I got bites, but I don't know if we're gonna actually catch one, but they're there. They were there last week, and the guy said that they're normally there in the winter. So I'm like, let's go there. And he's like, well, okay, why not? You know, we got time. It was a Saturday. Took about 2 hours out of our day to go fishing in the evening. So we went out there, and no joke. Fourth cast, boom, brown trout, 13-incher. He comes up, bang, just hits that fly, and you could see it, and then you just see the white flash of the belly underneath the water. And I was like, I got one. And he's like, you what? And then, you know, it's beginning of February. Nobody's out on the river except for us. So he comes running over, he grabs the net. And we get out that fish, and once we got it into the net, it was like, oh yeah, we finally got one. I was amazed that we had finally got one. And this was my first brown trout and first fish caught in Utah so far. So, and thus far, actually, sadly. So I was like, dang, well, that's great. So I was like, oh boy, what do we do now? And I wish I had done some research on the topic, because apparently you're supposed to slit its throat into a bucket of water. and let its blood drain out. That way the meat tastes better. Which I did when my friend caught a fish when I took him fishing later, but that's an entirely different episode. We'll talk about that when he gets to speak for that. But so anyway, we catch this 13-inch brown trout, and I'm like, great, what do we do now? I mean, it's flapping around. At this point, first brown trout caught, it's way more flappy than a crappie, or definitely less flappy than flopping around than a what do you call it, a dogfish. Those things, they put up a fight, I'll tell you what. Wow. It's actually quite impressive how much of a fight they can put up. But anyway, I'm bringing this brown trout. Got it in the net. Take the hook out of its mouth. You know, I'm taking pictures of the fish because, hey, I caught a 13-inch brown trout. Why am I not going to take a picture of the fish? I mean, that's not terribly big, but to me, it was large. And my friend, he's just like, you're kidding me. Every time I go out fishing with anybody, they always outfish me. And I'm like, well, then in that case, we need to go fishing more often. So we get the fish, we put it in the cooler in the ice, and continue fishing. He didn't catch anything. He didn't even get a bite. He could see him jumping, he couldn't catch him. I couldn't catch him. So in the end, we were just kind of like, oh, well, okay, well, we got the one fish, so let's go home then. So we get into the car, we put the fish in from in still in the cooler into the back seat. We get into the car. Right before we start the car, you just hear this shh of the fish in the back, and I looked at him and I was like, "It's still alive?" It was. So we get on our way. I get back home. And now it's time for me to fillet my very first brown trout. So I was like, oh boy, how do we start on this? So, as per usual, you lift up the fin and you make a diagonal cut right behind that, just right behind the gill plate, all the way down until I hit the spine. Turn the knife sideways, cut all the way back. Came out with a couple of good fillets. I cut them into smaller pieces, that way they could be more of a bite-sized thing. And I used some, I think it was sunflower oil and breadcrumbs to cook it up. And it was okay. But I'm not one to like the extremely fishy flavor of fish. So that's why I wish that I had drained out a bit more of the blood before I cut into it. But it did taste really, really good. Got all the bones out and it was perfect. I'm not one to pick through all the bones of the fish. I just like to cut right over the rib cage and then go from there. So that was a great time fishing. But I guess since this episode isn't very long yet, might as well get into next time of fishing. So the next time we go out fishing, I had take out another friend. He hadn't fished for I think it was 30 plus years, and so we went out fishing, and he was really excited to go out fishing again, and I was excited for him to go out fishing again because I was expecting to have a great day. We go out there, we're fishing starting at 8 a.m. and at this point, I had just got my waders the day before, and I was so excited. Because now I can actually navigate the river, which is great news. Because before, I just had some waterproof boots, and that's it. And, what, 3 inches of. I mean, really, come on. So, I finally get waders, and we're out in the river, and we move to a new spot because we weren't catching anything. And so we move up the river, about 10 miles up the river, and we start fishing there. Nothing, nothing. Looking up the river, I'm just sitting in the middle of the river, and I'm looking up, and I'm watching this guy, not 20 feet in front of me, cast, boom, fish, cast, boom, fish, and I'm just going, What's he using? I'm not gonna ask him what he's using because I have no clue who he is, and he probably wouldn't appreciate that I'm trying to catch his fish. But anyway, I'm just still trying to fish, and I get to this one, and then he moves up the river, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go back to the spot where he was. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching them surface, and I'm like, okay, this is perfect. I gotta get a dry fly on here. Get the dry fly on. One cast, two cast. Oh man, I gotta get one soon here. And I look up the river, and I look up the river, and I see all this water coming down the river towards me. And the river level starts getting higher and higher. And I was like, oh, well, that's the end of fishing for now. The reservoir up the river had dumped a whole bunch of water, and they're still dumping water downstream. And so it kicked up all the grass and everything, so it was really miserable from then on, so we decided to leave. So that friend had to go, but then my other friend, I saw him at the gas station, and he's like, hey, you want to head over to our local outdoor store, go pick up some flies, and go fishing down in the way down the river of the Weber. And I was like, well, sure, why not? So we go fishing for 4 hours, see two fish, no catch. That was fun, but it could have worked out a lot better, I think, on my end of trying to catch fish. Anyway, we're down that river, and I'm just trying to figure out how to catch these fish. I'm trying to read the river. I'd watched a couple of videos on it, but I haven't been trained by anybody. I haven't gone with an expert fly fisherman ever. So I was just kind of like, well, this kind of looks like a fish might be there. Cast over there a couple of times, move up the river. We did see an otter, though. That was interesting. I was like, oh boy, here we go. We're not going to catch anything in this area. So we kept on moving upstream, and then it started getting deeper, and I'm like, oh well, I got waders, so I'll be fine. And then it got deeper. Then it got deeper and deeper. And then I was up to the point where if I slipped, I was going right in. And it was right next to an area where it was kind of fast water. So I'm like, okay, let's not get here. And there are very large boulders in the bottom of the Weber at this point. And so it was like you're squatting, trying to make through. Trying to look into the water without polarized glasses, trying to see where your next step is going. So you're feeling your way through the river, and you're just thinking, if I slip, I'm going down the river. It was an interesting time, but it was a lot of fun because I'm the kind of guy who likes that kind of stuff. So, I did that for about 15 minutes, so my friends on the other side of the river, where it's really shallow, probably 2 feet deep, watching me where it's 7 feet deep. I swear it was. I mean, I was stepping on the boulders, but still. And he's just over there fishing and having a great old time, and I'm over here going, oh boy, take the careful step. But anyway, I made it out of that without getting water into my waders, and I do that eventually, and we'll talk about that in the next episode of the Outdoor Podcast. But for now, we're not going to talk about that. Before we continue on with the story, I'd like to introduce our next sponsor. Back to continuing on to our story. We're going up the river a bit more, and we were fishing for about 4 hours, I would say, at this point. So it was around 5 o'clock in the evening. Things were starting to wrap up. It was getting dark out. And we had walked about a quarter mile up the river. I thought it was 3 miles because of how fast that water was flowing, but that was an insane time that I won't forget. Still first day with the waders and everything. And that was a lot of fun, I'll tell you what. So, We'll see how the next time goes with that. So I go fishing at a later time when it got really cold again. And actually, no, this was an old earlier just before this. So it was about a week before that time. And I had brought out Sean to the river, and we were fishing, and there was ice on the edge of the river because it had gotten really cold the night before. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, "Hey, don't walk over here. There's ice, and I got a bit of a crack forming right here, so you don't want to get out here." And he's like, "What?" Keeps on walking towards me, and I'm like, "Hey, no, go away, stop." He's like, "Huh?" As the ice crack gets bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, boom, he falls in, not me. So I'm just standing there laughing because it's not very deep. I mean, it's like 5 inches deep underneath us, no more. But he gets his sock wet, and I'm like, "Heh, you stepped into the river, I told you." And he's like, "That's what you're trying to say." And I was like, "Yeah." So I start walking back towards the shore, not 5 feet away from me. And then my ice floating thingy starts to crack and fall in. So then I go in, and the water gets on top of the ice, which makes it even more slippery. And then we all start going in. And, oh boy. So basically, I just should have gotten waders 17 billion years before then. But, well, things happen, and I didn't. So, that was a big mistake. But it was a lot of fun that day. So, I think it's about time to wrap up this episode of the Outdoor Podcast. Make sure that you guys will follow this podcast and make sure to listen to all my other episodes. Until the next time, guys, thanks for listening in, and I'll see y'all next time.